Thanks for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our Locked On rooms. On today's show, we're looking back at two big games from 25 years ago this week. We'll be discussing last night's NLCS game and doing a kind of sort of preview of tonight's ALCS game.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everyone. It's Stacey Gutsoulias, the host of Locked On Yankees. Welcome to the show. If you don't know who I am, I've written for Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times. I've had stuff on ESPN. I even wrote a few articles in a commemorative Derek Jeter magazine the last year that he played for the Yankees, which was pretty cool because seeing my last name, and if you're looking on YouTube, you're seeing it right now, seeing it in glossy print was pretty exciting. So yeah, those are my credentials. My dad was a Bronx-born Yankee fan, started going to Yankee games in the 1940s as a young child. His mom would send him to the old stadium with a bag of lunch and I believe a dime to sit in the bleachers. I think it was a dime. Or was it a nickel? Could have been a nickel back then because, you know, that was a really long time ago. So, yeah, let's discuss stuff that's going on in baseball right now, like last night's NLCS game. It was like two games. The first three innings felt like it was a death march for the Dodgers. And not only that, the first two innings took an hour, which Rob Manfred probably was twitching somewhere because you know how he doesn't like things to be long. And I was afraid that game was going to be 6 hours. I was afraid it was going to set the record for the longest ever 9-inning game. And then it was like the Dodgers were asleep and then they suddenly woke up. Not that I haven't seen anything like that happen, because we saw that happen with a game. I believe it was against the Royals this season, the Yankees against the Royals, where they seemed asleep for the first 7 innings and then they suddenly started scoring. And it felt similar in the Dodgers-Braves game. Dodgers had their backs against the wall. They needed to win the game. Otherwise, they would have been eliminated. It was sort of not a repeat of last year, but seems similar to last year because the Braves had a 3-1 lead over the Dodgers and then ended up losing that series. Now, last year was a lot different because the games were being played in Texas, right? The NLCS was in Texas and then the World Series was in Texas and the ALCS was in San Diego, if I'm remembering correctly. And, you know, not a lot of fans in the stands and it wasn't the same kind of vibe. Dodger Stadium also felt dead. But then again, when your team goes down 2-0 in the first inning, you have Joe Kelly on the mound with his weird mustache. He looked like a villain from a Western. It almost reminded me of Val Kilmer in Tombstone, kind of. Who else? It reminded me of someone else too, but he just looked ridiculous. Then he left the game with an injury. The Dodgers are dropping like flies, by the way, with their injuries. So that was another issue that made the first two innings, or the first few innings, take so long. And I keep saying this. I'm so glad I'm not a fan of either one of these teams because this series has been a roller coaster. Now, the funny thing about it was that it was similar to the night before, except the night before, the Braves exploded for 9 runs. And then last night, the Dodgers exploded for 11. And the big culprit last night, Chris Taylor hitting 3 home runs. Of course, Chris Taylor would hit 3 home runs in an NLCS game. He didn't hit a fourth. I believe he struck out, right? Yeah, I think he struck out in his last at bat, but it was a pretty good game. I mean, you want the series to go long, you know? I don't know. I know a lot of people are sick of seeing the Dodgers. They're sick of the Dodgers having another chance to be in the World Series. I know people, I don't know if people would prefer, no, I don't know if they would prefer to see the Braves and the Red Sox. I know I wouldn't. But I think they're just sick of the Astros and the Dodgers always being either the last guy standing or close to it, you know? At least last year, there was a bit of a reprieve with the Dodgers playing the Rays, but the Astros have made it to the ALCS 5 times in a row now, and it's like, okay, enough. Which is what I'm sure everyone was saying in the late 90s about the Yankees, you know? Okay, it's enough. Actually, I can say that's true, because in 2002, when they lost to the Angels in the division series, people were like, my God, finally, they're not in a World Series. The last time they weren't was 1997. Like, oh my God, we got a break from the Yankees. So yeah, it would be nice to get a break from the Astros. I don't see that happening. You know, Boston can win tonight, and we'll talk about that in segment two. But yeah, I don't think the Braves are dead. Not in any way, because again, it's different than last year. They're going home to play these two games. They're not playing in a neutral stadium in front of some of their fans and some Dodger fans. It's going to be mostly Braves fans. There'll be some Dodger fans there, but it's going to be a different vibe. Now, of course, facing Walker Buehler and Max Scherzer in back-to-back games is a lot different than facing Joe Kelly. So, yeah, I mean, the Braves, they just have to win one and move on. The Dodgers have the tougher task ahead of them because they have to win both games on the road. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I will not make any predictions because I don't know. Anything can happen. I mean, who knew, as I said yesterday, Eddie Rosario would be like a playoff hero. And he had another good game last night too. It just, the Braves didn't score as much as the Dodgers. Let's see, Chris Taylor's night. Let's talk about that because my goodness, 4 for 5 with 6 runs batted in. 3 runs scored, obviously, the 3 home runs that he hit, and that 1 strikeout. So, wait a minute. The Dodgers scored, that's right, it was the bottom of the second. See, that the first 2 innings took so long that I didn't even remember that they scored all those runs in the bottom of the second. I thought it was the third because the game felt so long. Okay, so Atlanta scores the top of the first. The Dodgers score in the bottom of the second, bottom of the third. They only score 1 in the bottom of the third, then 2 in the bottom of the fifth, 1 in the seventh, and then they explode for 4 runs in the eighth and just break the game open, and everyone's happy. The Braves were held to 5 hits, and the Dodgers exploded for 17. No errors on either side, so the defense was clean. But just those first 2 innings felt so long. My God. Kelly pitched 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 runs, the 1 home run to Freddie Freeman. By the way, Freddie Freeman started off the series with, what was it, 5 or 6 straight strikeouts to start? And now, well, I shouldn't say now, because yes, he had that first at bat. Let's see. Yeah, he was 1 for 4. So after the home run, they shut him down. That's a big key. Another big key is shutting down Rosario, which he was 2 for 4 last night. But as I said, they only had 5 hits. 2 of them were from Rosario, 1 from Albies, 1 from Freeman, the big one, and Swanson. Everyone else was quiet. So do the Dodgers have a chance? Of course they do. They're the friggin' Dodgers. So, you know, we'll see what happens this weekend. And I'll have plenty to talk about on Monday because Saturday and Sunday are the games. So should be a fun show on Monday when I get into the Yankees player reviews and discussing the NLCS and talking about who made the World Series, because that'll be happening this weekend. Should be fun. So are you sick of things being slow? Because slow is just right if you're on vacation, a sloth, or describing QuickBooks. More like slow books. It sucks you in and it slows you down with manual processes, integration difficulties, and glitchy delays that leave you scrambling for the numbers you need. Now is the time to make the switch to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one financial system, because NetSuite gives you the visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. It's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time, no matter how big your business grows. Failing to switch to net Failing to switch to NetSuite will leave you stuck trying to make sense of your books while your competitors sprint ahead. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control since switching to NetSuite. And right now, special financing is back. NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind financing programming only for those ready to switch today. Head to netsuite.com/lockedon. Right now, get special financing at netsuite.com/lockedon. That's netsuite.com/lockedon. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you've listened to the show, if you've watched the show, you know that I love mint brownie. But the other flavors that you can get, coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors yet, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're healthy too. They have high protein, low calories, low sugar, and they're just good for you. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. And when you go to built.com and you order things, you start to get emails and they let you know about special flavors that aren't regular. And if you order them and try them, you might fall in love with something else. So again, go to builtbar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Thanks again for making Locked On Yankees your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. So I mentioned the ALCS. Tonight is a big game because Houston is heading back to Houston with a 1-game lead in the series. And if they win tonight, they will go to the World Series again. I'm sure everyone is very excited about this. All right, maybe not. Only people in Houston are excited about this. No one else in baseball is excited about this. So tonight's matchup is Luis Garcia against Nathan Eovaldi. This could be interesting, especially because of what happened to Eovaldi last time he pitched, when they put him into that game and Houston did not stop scoring. So, yeah. I don't know. I can't make any predictions about this either because there's been an issue in the playoffs with starting pitchers not lasting as long as they normally do. Some people were thinking that all of the issues that we're seeing with certain starting pitchers, with injuries, with them not pitching as well this year, has to do with the fact that last season was only 60 games. This year was 162. That could be it. Some of the guys that you saw not pitching well, it might not have just been the sticky stuff being taken away. It could have been other reasons for it. Like, there's a big difference between 60 games and 162 games. And yes, these guys are used to playing 162 games, but the previous season was very strange with not playing in front of fans, playing in different places. You know, Toronto had to play in Buffalo. Other teams had to go to Buffalo. Buffalo is not really a major league stadium, and different things that were going on. And the conditioning was different because the season didn't start until July. And it was just, I think it does play a role in what happened this season. And I think you'll see some of the guys who had issues in 2021 improve in 2022. Some guys didn't have problems. Good for you. And I'm sure some of the pitchers who have problems and watching these other guys who didn't have any issues in 2021 were thinking to themselves, yeah, good for you. So I don't know. Eovaldi is so hot and cold. You know, he could come out tonight and pitch, you know, 7 innings of 1-run ball, but then he could also come out and pitch 2 innings of 5-run ball. So it's just the playoffs have been a real, and you know, you say it all the time when the playoffs start that they're a real crapshoot, but it feels like that way more this season. I don't know why, but yeah. You know, his ERA so far in the playoffs is 10.50, not helped again by that game where Cora brought him in and the Astros scored all those runs off him and, oh, who's the other pitcher? I can't think of his name. Hold on. Wait a minute. Oh, no, that was the different game. Hold on. It was Tuesday night's game. Wait a minute. That's right. One game was 9-1, and that was just, you know, a bad game. The other game was not the 9-2 game. That was the game that Eovaldi came in. Okay. See, all these scores being similar is confusing me. Yeah, Perez. That's right. Because if Eovaldi pitched, he got two outs. Perez got one out, and they gave up 7 runs. 6 of them earned in an inning. So again, you know, I can't make predictions about this. And it's hard for me as a Yankee fan. I was trying to explain this to my brother last night. While I don't want the Astros to win anything, I would feel better if they made it into the World Series, because people were predicting the Astros to be the Astros and be in the thick of everything again. The beginning of the season, no one was predicting the Red Sox to do anything. People were predicting them to be fourth behind the Orioles in the AL East. Everyone was talking about the Rays. Everyone was talking about the Yankees. Everyone was talking about the Blue Jays. People were ignoring the Red Sox. And if they came out and made it to another World Series, that would just be, oh, that would be awful. It would be awful. I mean, the ALCS is a worst case scenario for most Yankee fans anyway. But I feel like because of that reason, I'd be more comfortable with the Astros making it, because they were kind of expected to, and the Red Sox weren't. I mean, I feel dirty even saying that, and I feel dirty even admitting that I'd be pulling for the Astros tonight. Ugh. Again, in a perfect world, a meteor would be involved in the ALCS, but, you know, it's not happening. So we gotta pull for someone, and I guess pulling for the Astros over the Red Sox? I don't know. Ugh. Everything about it is awful for Yankee fans. This month has not been fun, and can't wait for it to end. Ugh, terrible. Does anyone else feel that way? Especially the Yankees being eliminated in the wild card game against the Red Sox, and the way it happened with Cole just not doing anything, you know, Stanton being the only guy really hitting. Well, Judge hit too, but Stanton was really the only guy that was really doing anything in those last few games. Just what an awful season. Because again, people were expecting the Yankees to do big things, and that just didn't happen. So yeah, go Astros. Can't believe I'm saying that. Brett and Eric of Locked On Astros are going to be like, whoa, did she actually say that? Yes. Yes. So anyway, that'll be an interesting, yeah, Monday will be interesting when we find out who is actually going to be playing in the World Series. I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be Dodgers Astros again. I might be wrong, but that's my gut. We'll see. We'll find out on Monday. So BetOnline is back and better than ever. There's a new web interface for the start of the basketball season with more odds, props, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. So let's discuss 1996. Now, today is an actual anniversary. We're also going to talk about 25 years ago tomorrow, because that was a big game, a very big game. And it's 25 years later, and I still can't believe it happened, but I think you know what I'm talking about. So if you recall, the 1996 World Series was delayed a day because of a rainout, and I was supposed to go to the game that was rained out, but I couldn't because I had to go back to school. Then again, it's probably better because I would have sat through the 12-1 thrashing in game one. So, you know, I think I was better off not being at that game. So there was no off day between games 3 and 4. So game 3 happened on October 21st, 1996. Game 2 was on October 21st and game three was on October 22nd. And this was a big matchup, David Cone against Tom Glavine. And I feel like this game is overlooked because of game four and the dramatic game four that it was. And even game five, that was a dramatic game too for other reasons. But I feel like this one got a bit overlooked because this was a big game. You know, the Yankees found themselves down 0-2, losing the first two at home, heading to Atlanta for three. And this was a must-win game. And they did win it. And this is how they did it. And they came out right away, too, which is pretty awesome. But let's go through the lineups, because you know we love doing that here. Tim Raines in left, Derek Jeter at short, Bernie Williams in center, Cecil Fielder at first, because National League Stadium. Charlie Hayes at third, Daryl Strawberry in right, Mariano Duncan at second, Joe Girardi catching, and as I said, David Cone was your starting pitcher. For Atlanta, Marquise Grissom in center field, Mark Lemke at second, Chipper Jones at third, Fred McGriff at first, Ryan Klesko in left, Javi Lopez catcher, Andrew Jones right field, Jeff Blauser shortstop, and Glavine was your starter. Let's see. Does anyone remember how the game started? Started with a Tim Raines walk. And then Derek Jeter sacrificed him to second. And then Bernie Williams hit a single that scored Raines. And that was the one run that they scored. But hey, considering game one was, well, considering between games one and two, they were outscored 16-1. Having one in the first inning was better. So good for them. The Yankees scored again in the top of the fourth. Bernie Williams reached on an E6. Cecil Fielder walked. Charlie Hayes lined out, but Bernie made it to third. And then Daryl Strawberry hit a single that scored Bernie. Fielder made it to second. Then Mariano Duncan struck out. Joe Girardi walked. And David Cone hit a ground out. I mean, you know, can't really expect David Cone to do anything at the plate. Now, the Braves got on the board in the bottom of the sixth. So it was a pretty tight game there, you know, only 2-0 Yankees, and you know, they kept the Braves off the board until that sixth inning. Cone had a bit of trouble with his command control. He walked Glavine, which the pitcher walking the other pitcher is, that's usually a bad thing. Marquise Grissom hit a single. Mark Lemke hit a bunt pop fly. Chipper Jones walked. The bases loaded. Fred McGriff popped up to shortstop, and then Ryan Klesko walked with the bases loaded. And then okay, this was a very strange inning, and I kind of remember it, but 25 years ago. So he walks Glavine, gives up a single, then a bunt pop fly, another walk, a pop fly, a walk, and then a foul pop fly to end the inning by Javi Lopez. Okay. So it's 2-1 at that point. In the top of the eighth, Derek Jeter hits a single off Greg McMichael. And let's see. Bernie Williams hit a home run. That's right. That scored Jeter. Put them up 4-1. Luis Soho hit a single that put them up 5-1. Mark Lemke hit a single off Mo in the bottom of the eighth to make it 5-2. And that's all the Braves would do. And I'm trying to remember if anything. No, actually, you know what? Other than Javi Lopez reaching on an E6 in the bottom of the ninth against Wetland, nothing scary happened because he got Jones to strike out looking, Blauser to strike out swinging, and Terry Pendleton grounded out. Because if you recall, it was an adventure sometimes watching John Wetland pitch the ninth inning. You know, and then when Mo became the closer and became such a powerful closer. I mean, you know, sure, he had some meltdowns every once in a while, but he was like on the money and all the time. And just, that's why people are so hard on Aroldis Chapman, and for other reasons. But we had so many years of Mariano Rivera, and people don't even remember what it was like before he became the closer. I remember. And yeah, John Wetland made things an adventure sometimes. So, 5-2, Yankees get themselves back in it. The Braves are up 2-1 in the series. The next night, Wednesday, October 23rd, 1996. You know the game. Kenny Rogers started for the Yankees. Denny Nagel started for the Braves. The Braves were up 6-0 heading into the top of the sixth. Yeah, you know the game. Back at the track, at the wall, we are tied. I still love that call. Joe Buck annoys me, but I love that call. I will always love that call. And it's just unbelievable to me that it was 25 years ago. That's crazy. And I'll keep saying this all week while I recall this World Series, because how is it 25 years ago? That's a long time ago. So let's look at the sixth inning when they scored 3 to cut the lead to 6-3. And the top of the eighth when they scored the 3 to tie the game. Now, let's go through the lineups. Now, if you look at the box score on Baseball Reference, because of the way the game was, with Atlanta scoring 4 in the second, 1 in the third, 1 in the fifth, and going up 6-0, there were a lot of pitching changes and a lot of pinch hitting, and just, you know, because it was National League, and it's just the box score is an absolute mess. But the starting lineup for the Yankees: Tim Raines in left, Derek Jeter at short, Bernie Williams in center field, Cecil Fielder at first, again, because National League, Charlie Hayes at third, then he moved to third at first at one point, Daryl Strawberry in right, Mariano Duncan at second, Joe Girardi catching, and again, Kenny Rogers was your starter. Do you remember how annoying Kenny Rogers was because he didn't do well in the playoffs, especially in the World Series, and then he was celebrating on the parade float as if he did do something? Anyone else my age remember how annoying that was? Okay. Atlanta, Marquise Grissom, center field, Mark Lemke, second base, Chipper Jones, third base, Fred McGriff, first, Javi Lopez, catcher, Andrew Jones, left, Jermaine Dye, right, Jeff Blauser, shortstop, and then Denny Nagel, pitching. Now, they didn't have as many pinch hit pitching changes as the Yankees did. The Yankees, again, the box score is just an absolute mess. Now, considering all the scoring that was done in this game, the Yankees were 4-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They left 13 on base. And the Braves were 3-for-12 with runners in scoring position, and they left 8 on base. So let's, you know what, we'll look at the inning where they scored 4 against my favorite person, Kenny Rogers. So that was the second inning. Okay. Fred McGriff started things off. Now, it wasn't a first pitch home run. It was on the fifth pitch of the at-bat in a 3-1 count, and he hit a home run. Javi Lopez walked. Andrew Jones walked. Jermaine Dye hit a fly ball to right that advanced Lopez from second to third. Jeff Blauser hit a single to Kenny Rogers, and Lopez scored. Jones made it to second base. Denny Nagel bunted. Sacrifice bunt. Jones made it to third. Blauser to second. Marquise Grissom hit a double that scored Jones and Blauser that put them up 4-0. Then after Rogers came out in the bottom of the third, Brian Boehringer came in because Kenny Rogers gave up back-to-back singles. And then Javi Lopez hit a sac fly that scored Chipper Jones because he made it to third on Fred McGriff's single. In the bottom of the fifth, Andrew Jones hit a double that scored Chipper Jones, put the Braves up 6-0. And at that point, you're thinking, oh boy, Yankees are in trouble. It was nice of them to win that one game, but it might be over. Then Derek Jeter hits a single. Bernie Williams walks. Cecil Fielder hits a single that scores Jeter and Bernie Williams because he advanced on an E9. Fielder made it to second. Charlie Hayes hits a single that scores Fielder. Also unearned because of that error. So the Yankees cut the lead to 6-3. And you're thinking, okay, it's better than 6-0. And then it's quiet until the top of the eighth. Mark Wohlers and his fantastic 1996 mullet come in. Yes. Okay. Charlie Hayes hits a single to third. Daryl Strawberry hits a single to left. Mariano Duncan grounds out. And then Jim Leyritz, six pitch at bat, and he hits the home run. And I remember the back at the track, at the wall, boom, when the ball hit the platform, I guess, where the camera was. We are tied. Call from Joe Buck that will never leave my head. And, oh God, that was just amazing. And that's when you felt like things had turned around for the Yankees. It was almost like, last night's game with the Dodgers. You know, at first you're thinking, oh, 2-0. They're kind of sleepwalking through everything. And then they score those three runs in the bottom of the second. And you're thinking, wow, it's totally different now. And even the Yankees just tying the game, especially because they were down 6-0. That was a big deal because of the way the first two games went. So they tie the game. Mike Aldretti pinch hits for Jeff Nelson. Wow, that's a blast from the past. He hits a ground out, then Tim Raines grounds out to end the inning. So they make it through the eighth, the bottom of the eighth, top of the ninth, bottom of the ninth, and then the top of the 10th, the Yankees. You all remember this very well. You must, right? If you're around then, Jim Leyritz grounds out, Graham Lloyd grounds out. You don't expect Graham Lloyd to hit anything. Tim Raines walks. Derek Jeter hits a single. Raines makes it to second. They intentionally walk Bernie Williams, so they walk the bases loaded. Then Wade Boggs comes in to pinch hit for Andy Fox. And he works a walk. And the Yankees go up 7-6. And it was at this time that my housemate Tim looked at me and said, "Do you need a paper bag? Are you okay?" That was his thing during the playoffs that year. Anytime I looked like I was stressed out, "Do you need a paper bag? Are you okay?" That was the moment. During Boggs's at bat, waiting for him to do something, anything at that point. And he works the walk. Yankees go up 7-6. And then Brad Klontz comes in. See, that's a name I don't remember. Charlie Hayes reaches on an E3, that weird pop fly between second and first, and Jeter scores. Yankees go up 8-6. Graham Lloyd started the inning. He struck out Ryan Klesko. John Wetland gives up a single to Andrew Jones. Then Jermaine Dye hits a fly ball to left field, and Terry Pendleton hits a fly ball to left field. Now, is that the one where Raines landed on his ass, right, to end the game? I think that's what that was. Yeah. So the Yankees win. They tie the series. And then the rest is history, but we'll discuss that on Monday. So I still can't believe this is, it's just amazing to me that it was 25 years ago, because in some ways it feels like it was 25 years ago. It looks like it was 25 years ago. And then in other ways, it doesn't seem that long ago. You know, it's kind of sad that we're getting to the point where the Yankees dynasty was that many years ago. And, you know, you're looking back on it like people in the 90s were looking back at the 70s. Yikes. Yeah, the Yankees need to get back to winning. Okay. Is anyone from the Yankees watching this? Can we do that, please? Because I miss it a lot. So as I said, player reviews will be starting next week. We'll be talking about the World Series because that'll be starting next week. We'll be honoring the Yankees winning their first World Series in 18 years in 1996, because that anniversary is coming up and there's a fun story to tell about that game. So we got a lot of good stuff coming up. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to the show in Apple, Google, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can watch us and subscribe to us on YouTube. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Now you can make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, both past and present, and it's free and available on all platforms. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all on Monday.